So excited on this beautiful Saturday afternoon to have live in the studio Ashley McBride. Welcome to Southern Illinois.
Thank you very much.
I am so thrilled that you're here today to share your incredible music with our Z100 family.
Thanks. We knew we were coming up this way, and so we thought, why not leave, you know, just a day early and just come say hi.
We're very honored about that. We really are. You're playing tomorrow in St. Louis.
I am, over at the Ballpark Village. The whole band. It's going to be great.
That's a super gig.
It is, and it's going to be Cards versus Cubs. So it should be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Crazy baseball, crazy music.
Yes.
And tickets still available for that event, or it's a free show.
Yeah. And outdoor. So drink water.
Bring water, drink water, throw water.
Yeah. If you don't have a water in your hand at all times when it's this hot, you're gonna wind up in a bad way.
Well, Ashley, I want to let you know that your music was turned on to me by my husband and this guy sitting next to you, Josh Gass.
What's up?
Thanks, Josh.
Both of these guys said, you've got to hear this girl. And the first song that they introduced me to was...
Fat and Famous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I heard that and I was hooked. I was reeled in because that is a very special song.
Special is a good way to say that. There are a lot of people that are pretty upset at me over that song.
You're kidding. Not the ones you went to high school with, by chance?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you really write it for a class reunion?
Yes, I did. Write it for the class reunion.
Nice.
And I didn't feel bad, really, about doing it because I meant it.
Yeah.
So as long as it's genuine, you know.
Wow. So did Jaws drop at that reunion?
They did.
And
they did.
How long ago was that?
Oh, wow. That would really age me. It's been a few years now since that reunion. Yeah.
Are you still speaking to any of your former classmates?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them. I got a couple of interesting Facebook messages. And some of them that were apologies and that were like, hey, you know, we might not have been friends in high school. And I was like, what? The fact that you thought enough just to message me, that song ain't about you.
Yeah.
They don't want a song written about
that's
them.
Right. Yeah. That song ain't about you.
And the Z100 listeners going, what is that song? What are they talking about? Is there any chance I could get you to do a radio version of that?
Yeah, I can do a radio version of that.
I mean, you know, there are just a couple things that need to be edited out to go on Z100.
The family-friendly show.
There you go. This is called You Got Fat and I Got Famous. It's Ashley McBride. She's live in the New Country Z100 studio today.
Frizzy hair and glasses at the back of the class. You made fun of me on Friday nights. I was down there in the band. You were up there in the stands. And now who's voted most likely to hate their life? You got fat, I got famous. Ain't that funny how it changes? You made fun of me for years. I get paid to play my songs. I got a headline gig in Austin. You got a closet drinking problem. And a juvenile delinquent souvenir from senior prom. I got a Budweiser endorsement. You got fat, I got famous. You cheated off my papers and ignored me in the hall and drove a daddy's money Mustang around town. I drove a rusty pile of tin that you loved to go by me in, and it looked a lot like that heap you're driving now. Changes. You made fun of me for years. I get paid to play my songs. I got a headline gig in Austin. You got a prayer chain gossip column and a pack of crappy friends and a butt just like your mom. My guitar player says I'm sexy. He strums my telly when he lets me. It's a peach the way life changes. You got fat, I got famous. It's hard changing words on the fly, but it don't change the truth. And the truth is, karma and gravity, they're the same thing. I got a Budweiser endorsement, and you're refinancing. ain't eat a peach. The way life changes, you got fat, and I got famous.
Woo! Awesome.
Thanks.
When did you know that you were a great songwriter?
Well, somebody can tell me I'm a great songwriter. I knew I wanted to be a songwriter from the time I was really small. Yeah. I was always making up stuff and absorbing things. Dr. Seuss and Shel Silverstein. And
yes.
I grew up listening to Ricky Skaggs and the Whites and Emmylou Harris and Dolly Parton and songs that really had awesome lyrical content. And I knew I wanted to do that. I just wanted to make stuff up. And I still tell people that. What do you do for a living? I make stuff up.
Make stuff up.
Yep.
And some of it is based in truth.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yes.
The majority of it is, yeah.
Where did you grow up, Ashley?
I'm from the Ozark Mountains. I'm from Arkansas.
Oh, yeah?
The northeast part. Mammoth Spring. It's a tiny town, and you wouldn't know it's there unless you've probably been to Fred's Fish House. You would know about that. And if you can get there by canoe. If you're familiar with the Spring River area.
It's a little bitty place.
Yeah, it was a great way to grow up, too.
Mm-hmm. And when did you decide to move to Nashville and make your way in the music industry?
I did what I was supposed to do and did as good as I could in high school and went on to college to study music at Arkansas State because I knew I needed to do that. Mm-hmm. And then my last year, I left. And at the time, I was playing six nights a week in Memphis in different places, clubs, dive bars, coffee shops, places that I wouldn't probably walk into, except that they would let me play music. And I started doing that so often, and I was missing so much schooling that last year that finally I had to go. Because if I did okay at it in Arkansas and I did okay at it in Memphis, the only way to know if you're good or not is to go where everybody does that. Mm-hmm. Just move to where the NFL of sure. songwriting is and see if they'll let you play in their sandbox. And all you got to do is prove that you know how to build a sandcastle, and they'll let you play.
Did you find the doors open for you immediately, or was it a tough road to hoe?
It's tough as a town is, and it is for a gigging town. It's kind of tough because you want to play on Tuesday night or something, and you hope to get paid, and sometimes it only pays in tab form, and you're like, mm-hmm. Well, my truck doesn't run on Coors Light, but thank you. But the songwriter community was, I figured it would be more of a click thing where nobody wanted to talk to you, and it just wasn't that way. Everybody was super inviting, and you may find a group of five or six people that you get along well with, and then it's not really your home. But they still stand there with you and support you until you find kind of your tribe. It took me a few years to find my tribe.
But you did.
I did. And we do the same thing when there's a new kid in town. We grab them and say, you're welcome to hang out with us and learn the ropes. And then when you are comfortable, you can go on your own.
We have from Southern Illinois a lot of people that have made the trek down the interstate to Nashville. And one of them, less than a day ago, you said on Twitter, your day needs this man's voice.
Yes.
He is from here.
I didn't know Kendall was from here.
Yes. Kendall Marvel.
I love writing songs with that guy. I love listening to his voice.
Mm-hmm. He is from Thompsonville, Illinois, which is just, 20 miles down the road.
Yeah.
And he comes back quite often and plays in this
area. Man, he's a gem. He really is a gem.
Great voice, great songwriting. And then another one is David Lee Murphy.
Oh, yeah. I just did a couple shows with him and Leonard Skinner not too long ago.
Yeah, in Ohio?
In Ohio, yeah. He's a really nice guy.
He is. I graduated high school with him. My first DJ job, he was my newsman.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was pretty fun radio stuff. Back to your career and where you're going now. Brand new single that,
yes.
Some radio stations are playing it. The other ones haven't gotten turned on to Ashley McBride
right.
yet, but they're going to.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind the dive song?
Yeah, Little Dive Bar in Dahlonega. Dahlonega's a real place, and it's hard to spell. It's in Georgia, and it's a beautiful little mountain town. And I had had a really terrible day. And another one of my co-writers that I was with that day, she had had a pretty awful night and morning. And our third co-writer was coming in to write and didn't show up. I was madder than a hornet. And I was like, this guy, thinks he doesn't have to show up. Well, he comes in and you could tell he had had a way worse night and morning than either of us. He had lost his phone in a bathroom, in a bar, and his sunglasses were broken. He didn't have the thing. He didn't have picks. He didn't have the things he needed. Didn't know where to be. And I kind of just said, let's not. This is a bad day for writing. Let's not do this. The stars aren't going to light up. But it's just the worst day, And he said it could be worse. And he told us a story about being in Atlanta and leaving and how everything had gone wrong. And then his car broke down outside of Atlanta. So he took the Dahlonega exit. And that's when he taught us how to spell it. He's like, it's spelled Dahlonega. But anyway, he took this exit and there's a cafe there called the Crimson Moon. And he parked his car there, was going to wait for help to arrive, went inside. Sean Mullins was inside playing a show at the Crimson Moon. And he decided to stay that night and just stand there and have a couple drinks and watch the music, and met a girl, wound up marrying the girl in that place that night.
The stars were aligned.
That's right.
It was supposed to be that way.
Yeah, I learned my lesson because we wrote a song we loved on the worst day ever.
And this is the song, her current single. It's Ashley McBride. And I'm just going to call it a little dive bar because I'm not even going to try to pronounce
it. You're welcome to call it that.
There you go. Here it is for you now on New Country Z100.
To the backpacked first love leaver, the heart cracked double down dreamer, the homesick for grass that's greener and a slice of mama's peach pie. To the flat broke couch cushion gas money, the worker bee that ain't getting no honey, missing someone all the while running, gunning for the brighter lights. Here's to the breakups that didn't break us, the breakdown wrong turn that takes you to a little dive bar in Dahlonega. Hear a song from a band that saves you, man. It's a hidden rock bottom. Smoke them if you got them. Nothing's going right. Making the best of the worst day kind of night. We've all got a number that we don't want a drunk dial, and a good friend seen in a while, and a slow dance left in these boots, and a chance at putting down new roots. Here's to the breakups that didn't break us, the breakdown wrong turn that takes you to a little dive bar in Dahlonega. Hear a song from a band that saves you, man. It's a hidden rock bottom. Smoke them if you got them. Nothing's going right. Making the best of the worst day kind of night. The breakdown wrong turn that takes you to a little dive bar in Dahlonega. Meet a girl outside Atlanta, man, when it's hit rock bottom. Smoke them if you got them. Nothing's going right. You're just singing along with your drink raised. A pretty little blonde thing's looking your way, making the best of the worst day.
Great song. True story.
True story.
Great song. Oh, my goodness. Now, you said the co-writer of that also was...
A co-writer on Cruise.
Co-writer on Cruise.
Yeah. Multifaceted man, Jesse Rice. Yeah.
No kidding. What a great story behind that song, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the little love note over here on the wall.
Oh, I see. Yes.
You see that? Misty Stover, an account executive here, is a huge fan of yours, and she just couldn't believe it when she found out that you were coming here. And she said, I've got things that I already have planned to do Saturday. But she left you a note, and she wanted to know Girl Going Nowhere.
Yes.
And Bible and
a 44. Yeah.
Those are two of her favorite songs from you. And she was wondering if you could possibly play one
sure.
of those.
Yeah. Which one should we do? My dad had a guitar when I was growing up that I wasn't allowed to touch, and I found that out when I picked it up. I think I was probably 7, And he told me never to touch that guitar because they just don't make them like that no more. But on his 70th birthday, I drove to his house, and I knew where that guitar was. And I'm grown, and I'll play any guitar I please. And so I sat down and started writing this song. And, of course, he came home. Partway through, it scared me to death, and I threw the guitar back in the closet. But... He had a southern drawl like a red-bone hound. Every song he sang was my favorite sound. He'd be the last one off if a ship went down. The kind of man it feels good to be around. The kind of man it feels good to be around. He had hair as white as a cotton field. He could spin you a story like a wagon wheel. Never went nowhere without a rotten reel. Lord, I miss that man, I always will. I miss that man and always will. He'd see through a lie like an old screen door. He taught me how to hunt, how to love the Lord. He carried a Bible and a 44. They just don't make them like that no more. He said, take what you got and do the best you can. The best thing you'll ever own is a piece of land. Y'all, he knew his like the back of his hand. He was something else, my old man. He was something else, my old man. He'd see through a lie like an old screen door. He taught me how to hunt and how to love the Lord. He carried a Bible. 44, and they just don't make them like that no more. I saw him strum this thing every chance he could, and he left it to me like he said he would. And if you ask me why it sounds so good, it's 'cause I'm holding more than strings and wood. I'm holding more than strings and wood. He'd see through a lie like an old screen door. He taught me how to hunt and how to love the Lord. He carried a Bible and a 44, and they just don't make them like that no more. No, they just don't make them like that no more.
You're going to make me cry.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. That is a beautiful song.
Thank you.
What
Thank
a
you.
Wonderful tribute to your father.
And a great guitar, too.
Wow.
It's a Martin D35S. It's a pretty cool guitar.
So you grew up in a musical family somewhat?
Yeah. We grew up on a cattle farm, which doesn't necessarily say music when you think of it. But my mom was big into bluegrass, thank goodness. And so I started out on mandolin, kind of an instrument more to my size. And mm-hmm. as I grew, they let me learn other instruments. And my dad played guitar. One of my four brothers played guitar, but not very often. And mm-hmm. all of us could sing, and we all sang in church together. And there were so many of us. I have five siblings. So there's six of us. And so with mom and dad and my dad's parents, my granny and granddad, we had every part represented in the hymnal. So everybody had to know how to sing every part. And I was kind of, you know, about it when I was younger, but now I'm so thrilled that I could sing any harmony that I chose to, you know.
No kidding. Did you have a organized band or?
No, I really like to play, and if, you know, nobody else wanted to go, just be me and mom at a bluegrass festival. Mm-hmm. And I would go even, I mean, just from just a little squirt sitting on a bucket. And I had a little 3/4 size guitar and mom would hand me a pick and set me out either a bucket or a milk crate. You know how bluegrass goes. There's jam sessions all over. And I'd go sit with men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that are out there playing banjos and dobros. And I'd go sit, you know, and sit there and strum along and say, hey, mister, how do I play that? You know, and they'd show me a different chord or whatever. And, and I'm a really shy person, always have been my whole life. But for some reason, when it came to asking questions about how to make guitars sound cool and how to play stuff, I wasn't shy at all.
No boundaries there.
No boundaries. As long as there was a guitar, it's still that way. As long as there's a guitar in front of me, I'm pretty much okay.
So from that little kid sitting on a milk bucket to Rolling Stone calling you one of the top 10 country artists to watch this year.
Yeah, that's a call your mama moment.
What did you do when you saw that or heard about that?
When I heard about it, I was in the chair in the salon and in Nashville, and I don't mean like a fancy salon. I hadn't had a haircut in a while, and she was cutting my hair, and I got this text message that said, you know, we need to look at this. Rolling Stone wants to do this, this, and this, and here's when the interview is. And I thought, whoa. Well, I just showed my person doing my hair. Look at that. This is weird. These people think I'm famous.
Wow. That is very cool. That is one of those, you know, notches on your career that you can tell that you're growing and doing the right thing.
It's such a weird phase to be in, and because things like that are happening, and you don't, I don't know, I guess I never knew that as your career became more and more successful, you still felt like that kid that sat on the milk bucket most of the time. And it's a weird feeling, and I'm really thankful for that, too.
Well, I have a very strong feeling that as your career continues to catapult, that you're going to stay very grounded in that milk bucket.
I will sit on that milk bucket.
Came. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love for you to do one more, if you would, before we go.
Sure.
Is that okay?
In fact, we just did this. I did this at the Opry. My Opry debut was, I think I cried for 3 days.
When was it?
It was June 16th. Forget it. They had a sign for me. They had my name on it for parking, and we pulled up, and that was it. Just tears. They filmed. They film a lot of it for you so that you can go back and understand what you just did. But for me, that was the Hollywood, the Mount Rushmore, the Holy Grail of places to play was the Opry. And even now it makes me tear up. I cried for a day before, the day of, and like almost 2 days after. And people would text me, congratulations on your opera debut. And I'd just start crying again.
That's funny. I'm surprised you made it through the song or two that you did.
Yeah, we did two songs. And I did okay in Little Dive Bar in Dahlonega. But then I had written this song over a year prior to that day. And we wrote it, Jeremy Bussey and I, so that when I played the Opry, I would have one special song to play for the Opry. And just, oh, man. It was the morning Guy Clark passed away, who was a hero of mine. And me and Jeremy were talking about people's reactions, you know, when you say I'm moving to Nashville to make up songs for a living. Like, I'm going to feed myself by making things up, you know. And sometimes you get a really good response, and sometimes you get that, oh, aren't you funny? Like, you'll probably not do that. I had a teacher in high school that told me I was stupid and that I would never, probably never leave the county, much less go to Nashville and write songs. And so I told that story at the Opry, and then I stepped back out of the Ryman Circle and looked at it and stepped right back in it. Don't waste your life behind that guitar. You may get gone, but you won't get far. You're not the first and won't be the last. And you can tell us all about it when you come crawling back that road you're on. Just winds and winds, you're spinning your wheels and wasting your time. When the lights come up and I hear the band, and where they said I'd never be is exactly where I am. I hear the crowd and look around, and I can't find an empty chair. Not bad for a girl going nowhere. Now I get these calls out on the road. I heard your song on my radio. We always said you'd make it big. And I tell all my friends that I knew you back when. So don't forget all us little folks. And when you crash and burn, remember we told you so. But then the lights come up and I hear the band. And where they said I'd never be is exactly where I am. I hear the crowd and look around, and I can't find one empty chair. It's not bad for a girl going nowhere. I need to thank my daddy for that first set of strings, and all those folks who swore I'd never be anything. It took a whole lot of yes I wills and I don't cares, a whole lot of basement dives and county fairs. To this show right now, and y'all sure look good out there. It's not bad for a girl going nowhere. Not bad for a girl going nowhere.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness, did you send a thank you note to the teacher or anything like that?
She sent an email recently to my mom that said, you know, wishing Ashley further success in pursuing her dreams and all that. And that's nice. It's nice for me to see that so that I can let that go. You carry that with you a lot longer than you think you do.
Yeah.
Ninth grade algebra class is every job you've had ever since then, you know, when somebody says something like that. And she was right. I'm not any good at math, but I know a couple things about a couple things, and I can make it up. And if it makes noise, I can make music on it. So at least I can feed myself that way.
Yeah, you should be very proud of the accomplishments you've had so far.
Thank
and
you.
The things that are on your the horizon for you. Girl, I'm so excited for
you. Thank you so much. I can't wait for you to have the whole record.
I can't wait either. And you have a new producer that is like the big deal.
Jay Joyce. And I didn't know who he was when I ran into him in his building. I didn't realize I was talking to him. And finally, he was like, I'm Jay. And I was like, oh,
you're the guy.
Oh, yeah, you're the best producer ever. Yeah. And then we're on the road in September with Eric and the brothers. And it's just such a cool camp, man. The brothers are phenomenal. And of course, Eric is... They're right to call him the chief.
Yeah.
He just really is one. He's just the bee's knees.
He is. He is.
And has been really, really good to me ever since I met him. So.
Yeah. Didn't he call you up to do...
In Chicago. Yeah. He called me up and had me do Bible in a 44. And that is a knee-buckling moment. I've never played in an arena, of course. And they came into where I was and where I was eating, and they said, you know, let's come put some in-ears. I've never used in-ears. Let's put those in you, and let's give you one of Eric's guitars. I want you to go stand out and do a sound check by yourself so you can see what an arena sounds like. And I was like, this is insane.
How exciting.
Yeah, it was really great.
You've had a lot of milestones in your career in the last, in 2017 alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really just a year and a half. It's just been boom, 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 boom. It's just, it's unreal. I've played in bars and stuff for 11 years and really loved what I did and wondered how it was going to happen, what was all going to happen once we started moving up to the next level. And here it is. And it's like being on a roller coaster and going all the way up that first hill and hearing the last click, knowing they're taking your picture. And then going. And so my whole band and I, we just kind of all stuck our arms up and went, let's go.
On for the ride.
Yeah.
Well, personally, I don't think you need any hotshot producer to make you sound any better because you're awesome just with you and
Thank
your guitar
you.
In the studio right now. But we do look forward to that new project. And when can we hear the
I
whole
can
thing?
Tell you that it will be in the fall.
In the fall.
I can.
This fall.
Yes, this fall.
Which starts like in September.
Right. Usually, I would, if I was a calendar, I would call September the fall.
September is the fall. Okay. So we will be on the lookout for that. And
yes.
Can you say what the name of it is?
I can tell you what I would name it. I'd call the whole album Girl Going Nowhere, but I guess I'll let you know before anybody else.
And as far as a label goes, that's probably one of those things that...
Yep, it's one of those things I can't officially tell you yet. It's official. I just can't officially tell you it's official.
So we will officially look for it very soon.
I'll make sure you know. I'll make sure Angela sends you an email.
All right. That would be great. Thank you again, Ashley McBride, for stopping by Z100. We will be spinning your record.
Thank you for playing stuff that you like to listen to. That's really, really cool.
Kind of refreshing. Huh?
Yeah, it is.
Well, have fun in St. Louis tomorrow.
We sure will.
And thanks for stopping by here in Southern Illinois. We love you.
Thanks. I love you too.